Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, and we don't have any excuses today. We can pull them up on our phone, or right in back in front of you is a pew Bible. I challenge you to make sure that you're reading it, taking it. Whenever I read from it also. Why it's so important, you've heard me say that you make sure that the man of God is preaching the Word of God. Can anybody say amen to that? You make sure it's your responsibility to follow along and just not take it at face value, but to read it yourself. And that's why we're so blessed that we have forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And so we're so thankful for that. Living in the last days, I thought, yeah, with the total eclipse coming tomorrow and everybody saying and predicting all these things. And that lamp keeper there, street keeper, you'll get to see what that means here by the end of the service. And so I want us to think about living in the last days. And if you would, now that you've got your Bibles turned to Romans chapter 13, please stand to your feet and reverence the reading of God's Word. We'll be reading verses 11 through 14 of chapter 13 of Romans. 11 through 14, the Word of God says, "And do this, knowing the time that is now is at high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in rivalry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray. May your word go forth, touch our hearts for your glory. In Christ's name we ask it, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If I asked you this question this morning, do you believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ? You say, what do you mean? That he could return at any moment. Do you believe that Christ, the trumpet could sound? I was talking to Brother Billy, your grandpa yesterday at the pastor appreciation, and I said, what a great time. We were talking about the eclipse, and I said, what a great time, Billy Warren, a great man of God. I said, what a great time for it when the sun's darkened for the eastern sky, man, for Christ just to come on the horizon. Would that not be a great time? It could happen. We don't know that. All we know that is Christ is going to return. But if we believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, that he can happen at any moment, then we are living in the last days. You say, what do you mean by that? I believe that when Christ was crucified on the cross, and when he said, it is finished, that ushered in the beginning of the last days. We are in the time period between the two comings. The first coming, second coming of Christ. That is the last days. You have the privilege of living within that time frame. What a great time to be alive. Christ could return at any moment. I want you to think about that. And Paul is letting us, he's telling us, hey, redeem the time. Punch holes in the darkness. Why? Because Christ could come at any time. Augustine is one of my favorite church fathers, theologians, philosophers. Learned about him in seminary and really fell in love with him. He was deeply pagan in his lifestyle and his worldview. And he was highly educated and highly intelligent. And he became the professor of rhetoric in Milan. And so he would go down and listen to the bishop of Milan, which was Ambrose. And he wanted to hear his rhetoric or how he presented his sermons. And that's what he was going for. But you know what? He started listening to the message that he was given. And so Ambrose was highly educated, intelligent also, and he would listen and learn, and he found himself at a crossroads. He found himself at this, looking at the Scripture, and he realized that he was missing something. He was trying to understand it, and he actually went out to a place out in the garden there on a bench, and he sat down on that bench, and he was almost to the point of weeping, and he heard this young girl, these girls that were playing, and he said, whether they didn't know if it was song or they were chanting, they were saying something, playing together, and it was, tola lege, take up and read in Latin. Take up and read. And he picked up his Scripture, and guess where it was? Romans 13, 11 through 14. And he he read the scriptures that we just read, and he was marvelously converted, came to know Jesus Christ. Great man. His book, City of God, is one of my favorite all-time reads of all time. Great man of God that made a difference in the Christian, Western Christian culture even today, was saved by these words, very words that we'll be looking at today. And so I want us to think about as we're living in these last days, and it means that we are to understand the time that the Lord is giving us to live in accordingly. And how are we supposed to live in light of these understanding that we're living in these last days? I want you to see, firstly, get up. Get up. Listen to what the Word of God said in verse 1. And do this, knowing the time that is now, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Paul said, and do this. What's he mean by and do this? He really, as we finished up, if you remember last week in 13 and 10, where he says, love does no harm to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. He's not just speaking about that last verse, but he was talking about from 12 on. Remember when we got to the practical side of Romans, and Paul said, hey, don't conform to the image of this world, but be transformed. And then he started talking about in our relationships to God, offer ourselves as living sacrifices, in our relationship to each other, use our gifts within the body of Christ, in our relationships to our enemies, love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you. And then as we learn that we are to fulfill the law by loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. All this, he's saying, do this. When he says, and do this, do what? Knowing the time. Understanding the time, the context in which we live, we are to know the time that we live in and what we're supposed to be doing. Paul said, do this. Wayne Gretzky, most of you might, if you're not a hockey fan, you know who Wayne Gretzky is. What? The great one. Let me tell you, when you got a title like the great one because you were so good, yeah, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? And he was asked one time, what was your secret to success? How did you become the great one in hockey? Listen to what he said. I skate to where the puck is going to be, not to where it's at. We are to live our life as if we understand the time of what's going to happen. As God's people, we have a unique circumstances that we can take, and we can open the Word of God, and we can know what's going to happen. If you want to be a great one for God, live as if you knew that. What's going to happen? Live as if the future of Christ's return could happen at any moment. And it can. It can. Because Jesus was constantly teaching his disciples and us, be watchful. Was he not? He's saying that, be watchful, be expectant. Look, he was talking about that he would return, that the Lord Jesus would be like a thief in the night. Remember those verses? That it could come suddenly, that nobody's prepared. Said, if anybody, there's no way a thief can come in and rob you if you know he's coming. He said, it'll happen unexpectedly. He said, but be watchful, be waiting, be anticipating the approaching deliverance of Christ is at hand. What does he tell us to do? Wake up. Wake up. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. None of us knows when Christ is going to return, do we? Nobody does. But I can promise you this, and I love the practicality of this verse. It's closer than it's ever been before. Can anybody say amen to that? 2,000 years? It's close than it's ever been. We're that much closer today. We really don't live that way, do we? Be watchful. It's nearer than it ever was before. Salvation is really used in three tenses throughout the New Testament. I want us to look at these three tenses. First is, I have been saved. And that's really the word justification, or I have been transformed. There was a place in my life for me, it was February 28th, 1990. You say, how do you know? Maybe I don't know the date. It might not have been a radical change for you as it was for me, but I'm going to tell you, I went down in darkness, I came up in light. God had saved me. I have been transformed. Justification. Secondly, is I'm being saved. You say, what do you mean? Sanctification, it's the present tense. It's the power of God breaking sin and the hold of my life. Does anybody still struggle with sin?
It's working out, that sanctification. I'm being transformed. And then lastly, it's when I shall be saved, or glorification, future. And it's to deliver from the presence of sin. Can anybody, that makes me excited even thinking about it. Being delivered from the presence of a fallen world, a fallen nature, this old flesh that's wrapped around me. To be delivered from that, that's glorification. Man, that's heaven. I will be transformed. This culmination of our salvation is nearer than ever before. Don't forget who you are. God is working. And one day, listen, the eastern sky is going to part. And Christ is going to return. Now listen, we can live as if that's not going to happen. That's a foolish, foolish person. We are to understand the times. Think about time. We're a slave to time, ain't it? In fact, look, I got my world clock here. Why? I've lost my watch. I don't know where it's at. I was looking for it today. Why is the watch so important to me? Because I'm a slave to it. Let's be honest. We're slaves to time, are we not? We look at the time. We've got watches. We got everything. We got all. It's got clocks in it. I guarantee you in your house, if you count how many clocks are in your house, right? Why is that? It's so important to us, isn't it? Time. But he's not talking when he uses the word time here. He's not talking about chronological time, or chronos is the word in Greek. He's talking about kairos, which is the era, the season, the epoch, the age. He says, know the time. We're so caught up in this that sometimes we miss out on this. Do we understand what I'm talking about here? We live in an era of the last days of Christ's imminent return. That should be most first and foremost in our mind. And he's telling us to do that. The time is near. So what time is it? That's not what he's talking about. The time, the season, the age. We live in that. We need to get up. He's giving us a wake-up call. Why is he giving us a wake-up? Listen, please hear me. And we all know that. We all know this. Why? We're the church. What is going on with the church? When I say as a whole, we're asleep. We see that. Listen, look at the scriptures. Why is he saying, wake up? Why is he giving us a wake-up call? We have a tendency to sleep. We have a tendency to get complacent. We have a tendency just to be satisfied and just sit back. Because that's what we like to do. Look, at the end of the day, bring me something to eat, honey. Let's be honest. That's what we live for. That's what we live. A lot of times you say, well, I'm not one of them people. Listen, majority of us, our problem is we're not awake spiritually. Oh, we're awake to the things of the world, the things that need to get done, all these things, those chores that are waiting on us that we stay so busy at, but yet are we really awake of the spiritual moment that we're living in, the era, the season? Christ could come at any moment. And all those things that we're so caught up about is not going to mean spit. Then why is it that we get so caught up in it? Satan, boy, he does a masterful job, doesn't he? Paul's telling us to wake up. Wake up. Not only is he telling us to wake up, but verse 12, gear up. Look what it says. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We are to live in the context, even though Jesus has come and darkness prevails. How many could look at your news this morning and say there's darkness in this world? Darkness prevails, does it not? But for how long? We live in the darkness, but we're not of the darkness. A big difference. We live as children of the light. We are to punch holes in the darkness. That's what God has called us to do. We live in the context of this surrounding darkness, and the days are soon coming, what? That it says the time, the season that we live, and he's referencing time again, and the time is already here for us to wake up, he says, and then our salvation is nearer than before is another reference, and the night is nearly giving place to the day. We all know that when it's dark. You get to see some beautiful sunrises here, don't you? When the day dawns and it breaks into darkness, the darkness breaks in, our light comes into the darkness. Wow, beauty. And he's given us that analogy of that's the time that you're living in. The darkness will soon be done away with. Why? Because the light is coming. The King is coming. And all this world and the mess and the garbage will be done away with because the day will dawn. A new day. I love, it's that familiar tension between what John Stott calls the now already of Christ's first coming and the not yet of his second coming. I like that. The now already, but the not yet. That's where you live. That's where you dwell. That's where we are today, this morning. Very relevant right here. August 20th, 2017. This is where the time frame that we're in, the era. Between the two comings, we live in a world that is still dark. This darkness tends to make us think that what is done here doesn't matter. You know that? You think, well, you know what? It really doesn't make any difference. I've got Jesus, and so I'm just going to go out here and live it up. I get tired of this old religious stuff. I'm glad that Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with the living God. And I want to tell you, if you take the mentality, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and you can go out here and live any old way you want to, and you don't think it doesn't come with a cost, you're a bad fool. And that's a foolish person that steps all over the things of God thinking that we can live that way. He's saying, wake up. Wake up that we can live in this world and make a difference now, because these few little old years that we got, hey, I'm heading for 56 quick. What happened to 55? I don't know. I'm thinking about all the runs that come before it, too. You wake up. And you got all those kids that's growing around you, and before you know it, you look back and say, what just happened? What just happened? That's how fast. But do you realize that this life that he's giving you, this period of time, whether it's whatever he says that it is, where it's 70 or 80, if we're fortunate as we're going through Psalms, that's the time frame that he's give us to make much of him in his turn, that he could return at any moment in our lives? And I'm going to tell you, I promise, things in your priorities will change very quickly. Did anybody say amen to that? It'll change quickly whenever Jesus shows up. This sliced and diced. You ever had that? This scripture this week, as I'm studying it, sliced and diced on me. Why? I'm just as guilty as you are. We're asleep. We're asleep at the helm. Why? Because the world is going to hell around us, and we really don't care. Let's just be honest. If we cared, we would be making a difference and punching holes in the darkness. We're just trying to survive. We're in survival mode. But it does matter. Just having fire insurance is not what God has called you to do. He's not just called you to have fire insurance, to come sit on a pew on Sunday morning and go home and not make a difference in your life. I promise you, he ain't called you to that. If you think that's all that your Christianity is, you're not reading this. And you're not in this. By the way, this is speaking to me this morning. Awake. If you think about awake and darkness go together. Wake up. Quit slumbering. We have become insensitive to the days around us. When I was in seminary, we used to read and study about these things that would happen periodically. They were called great awakenings. I thought, this makes a little bit of sense now when I'm reading it. Great awakenings. Why did they call it great awakenings? Because we have a tendency to go to sleep, don't we? What does it mean by great awakening? It means that people actually woke from their spiritual slumber and realized the time that they were in and how God had called them to live in this way and to make a difference in the world that they live in. And these great revivals that they call great awakenings took place and swept across the land. Great awakenings. And I've even said, man, we need a great awakening in America. Anybody say amen? It's not going to happen until the church wakes up, though. Did you hear me? Until we wake up from our slumber. when we get up, we are to gear up. And Paul uses his analogy of putting off and putting on. He uses that in Ephesians through a lot of his writing. And what does he say? Cast off the works of darkness. But he says for us to put on the armor of light. It's really this clothing language that he says. In other words, take off your night clothes. Get out of your pajamas. Okay? Let's put it in our language. Get out of your pajamas. Put on your battle gear. For us, life is not a sleep, but it's a battle. It's not about, and you've heard me say, it's not a cruise ship. We like the cruise ship. Now, come on. How you just sail around all these exotic ports. You can eat. I've heard people say this. Well, you can eat anything you want, anytime you want it. Cruise ship. That's what we look for. Let's be honest. That's what we're looking for out of life, is the cruise ship. When the Scripture tells us time and time again, we're on a battleship. Battle stations. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers in dark places. And let me tell you, Satan is trying to take your kids, our kids, and everybody else down the drain with him. He wants to take as many and kill, steal, and destroy. And many as your neighbors and your friends and everybody else. And let me tell you what, school's starting tomorrow, and the school is the same way, okay? They want to indoctrinate your kids with the things of the world. And if we don't teach them the things of God, you know what happens? They get sucked into it. That's his job. Why? Because we just, I just want to keep my pajamas on a little longer. Spiritually, that's where we're at. Get up, gear up, and lastly, grow up. Look at verses 13 through 14. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You know, he goes from appropriate clothing that we're to take off our night clothes and put on our battle gear to appropriate behavior. Let us walk properly as in the day, not as at night. Why does all the bad stuff happen at night? Because nobody wants to be seen, do they? It gets dark. That's when we party hardy. Woo! I'm serious. You don't think I don't hear about that? You're out partying and all that stuff. You don't think it don't make it bad? What kind of mentality is that? Out of God's people. It's not biblical, I promise you that. Let us walk properly as in the day, as if the day had already dawned, and turn from that kind of things that people do in the cover of darkness. Make no provision for the flesh, that he says, verse 14. Most of us, if we're honest, we buy into the McDonald's philosophy of life. And what is that? You deserve a break today. Woo! I just deserve a break. I need to go home, pour me a glass of wine, and just wind down. I need to call my girlfriends over, and let's party together. Because you deserve a break. We buy into that mentality. And what is he saying? Make no provision for the flesh. Not in rivalry and drunkenness. It's not a spring break. Oh, we let our kids think that they go on spring break and sow their wild oats because we buy into the garbage of the world way and saying, they're just going to do that. They're young people. Just let them go. Oh, they'll come back. Party-hardy mentality. We are to be children of the light, not punching holes in darkness. Not filling the world with more darkness by the actions and the way that we live. Our language, the way that we talk, the way that we live. It's calling. It's not, hey, guess what? It's not legalism. It's called to a higher standard. It's called to the ways of Christ. And what Christ has called us to be, children of the light. And look what it says. We know that this kind of revelry and drunkenness is party mindset. What does it lead in? Not in lewdness and lust. Sexual promiscuity is everywhere. And it's just people being people is what we say. No, God's people are not just to be people. We're to be standard bearers, image bearers, carrying the light into a dark world. These things lead into one another. And hell, you might be looking at this and say, boy, I feel pretty good about myself right now. Them days have come and gone for me. Yes, guess what? He isn't. And we'll just put it into good old South Fork terminology. He ain't talking to me. guess what? Look at the next one. Not in strife and envy. Say, oh, I was doing good till he got to there. What do you mean? Dissension and jealousy. Criticism and jealousy. Same as the darkness. Hey, you know what? He sets them aside. He said, don't act like this. See, we might be doing good. We don't drink. We don't party. We don't go out here and live a sexually loose life. But what about dissensions and jealousy? Criticisms and strife. Oh, he's getting in our wheelhouse then, isn't he? See, when the Lord returns, you don't want to be partying. You don't want to be living sexually excessively or verbally expressing your criticisms and jealousy. If he returned right now, was that the way he would find you? We've got to stay prayed up, confessed up, living for him, constantly battling the flesh. Why? I don't know about you, but it's getting stronger as the world gets darker and the battle gets stronger. It's easy to look like the world and fit in because we don't want to be different, do we? We don't want to dare to be different. We want to fit in. God's called us to punch holes in the darkness, not to make more darkness. Paul has given us four calls. What has he given us here as we're getting to the end? Wake up, verse 11. Light is coming. Be ready. Yes, it's dark time, but that's why it's time to wake up and live appropriately. Behave decently in verse 13. Walk properly. What does that look like? My life matches my character. It matches it in being in Christ. Thirdly, he said, put aside 12, cast off, and put on, take off my night clothes, and put on my battle gear. Be protected. You cannot go into battle without protection. Any soldier that's in here can tell you, you don't go into battle unprotected. Why? The enemy wants to take you out any way that he can. He uses whatever he can to kill, steal, and destroy. And then lastly, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus. He is our armor. He is the light. He is to characterize, his mindset is to characterize our attitude, our values, our character, strength, and power. His mindset, attitude, and all my choices. When I'm at home by myself or with my little buddies and my ill influence, how am I living? Because that's really your character. We can all come in here and do a good job in front of everybody, can't we? On Sunday morning, we can all be Sunday morning Christians. What about Monday through Saturday night? Only as I do these things, he says, I will not make any provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Wake up, he says. The truth is, we can all be instructed and be slumbering our spiritual life away. Saved, but not honoring. Is that what God's called us to do? Just to get by? Has he? Has the Lord Jesus just called us to just get by? Just to have, oh, we're not going to hell, so I don't care if everybody else does. Is that what he's called us to do? He's called us to a high standard, fulfilling his purpose. The story is told of a young Robert Louis Stevenson. How many of us have read Treasure Island? Man, that was, yeah, Treasure Island, man, he was the author of that. But a lot of you don't know that he was a sickly child. He was always sick and struggled all the time with sickness. And so the story is told that his nurse found him staring out a window late one evening. And she said, man, get away from there, Robert. You're going to catch your death of cold. And he turned around and he said, hey, what was happening was there was a street lighter out there. And the lamps, in that time frame, they would go around with the oil lamps. And they would light the lamps every evening. And he was fascinated. He was watching that street lighter as he's going around lighting the lamps. And he turned around to the nurse and he said, there's a man out there and he's punching holes in the darkness. That's what God's called us to do. Punch holes in the dark world around you. We're living in the last days, folks. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. I don't know about you, but I feel the slumber in my own self. If we're all honest here, if we're all just honest before the Lord, there's so much more that we could be doing for his glory. I don't care what we're doing. There's so much more than this life and just getting by, having our fire insurance. Our life plays out. What is it that we do when we're by ourselves or in our own little groups or when we go off to places? How do we live? That's our true character. And we could keep on fooling the people that we see around us, but we're not fooling anybody, especially not God. Your life, you need to step back from our life and say, am I asleep? God's called me to punch holes in the darkness, not to live in the darkness. Applications, and we'll be done. Number one, are you spiritually awake? Linda, come and play. Are you spiritually awake? You know, let's be honest. Are we spiritually awake? Do you feel like we just need somebody to shake us and say, wake up. Wake up, look around at the world around us. Because number two, if you are, then what are you doing to make a difference for Christ in these last days? What are you doing? More of them. We're more concerned about our career, our 401k, just doing the American dream sometimes, just surviving, than making a difference for Christ in these last days. He could come anytime. Anytime. Number three, how are you shining your light in the darkness around you? Are you a light? Are you just blending in? Are you making a difference? Does people know that you're a child of God? Or could you just fit into any old crowd? Or is it maybe you can say all day long, oh, I love Jesus and all this stuff we can talk from here on out, but are you really living it out before Him? Because I'm going to tell you, one day when we stand before Him, like our memory verse, that's all it's going to count. And it ain't going to be words. It's going to be, what have we done for His sake? Let's stand on our feet. I'm not going to linger. If the Lord Jesus has spoke to your heart today, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, listen, He came to this earth for you. He died on a cross called Calvary. He was buried but rose again on the third day, that if you would put your trust in that and ask Him to forgive you, that He would save you and make you a child of God, that one day when He comes back, you'll go to be with Him. If you haven't ever done that, then you're lost here this morning. I want you to know that. And I don't want that, man. I want you to know Jesus. Why? If He can save me, He can save anybody. Woo! That's it. If He can save me, He can save anybody. He wants to save you this morning. Don't walk out without Him. But maybe, hey, you can look at your life and say, you know what? I'm really just sleeping it away. I'm sleeping it away. I'm caught up in all these other things that really, when I think about it, compared to the kingdom of God, it's not going to really make a difference. Today I want to say, Lord Jesus, wake me up. Wake me up from my slumber. Help me to care. Help me to punch holes in the darkness, not fill holes. Whatever He said to you, I want you to come answer Him in obedience. I didn't expect anybody to come forward because everybody's just satisfied right where they're at. That's the problem with our churches today. I love you. If we don't wake up, God help us, what's going to happen to